This is the Live Your Edge podcast, episode 18. This is Gilbert. Welcome to the podcast. Today, our guest is Adam Lewis Walker, award-winning, best-selling author, entrepreneur, and podcaster, speaker and founder of the Awaken Your Alpha podcast. Adam has also given a TEDx speech and has been featured in the Huffington Post. We'll be talking about what it really means to be alpha and how to reclaim your power. Join me in welcoming Adam Lewis Walker. Hey everyone, we have Adam Lewis Walker on the show today. Adam is going to talk with us about how to get out of survive mode and into thrive mode. So Adam has been involved heavily in his new book. He has a podcast called Awaken Your Alpha. And basically it talks about how you can live life on your own terms. Today we're going to talk a bit about, you know, your journey and how you got started and what we can all learn from your experiences. So welcome on the show, Adam.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to jump into this, as I think it's going to be a different kind of interview. I've already loved listening to your story before the interview. And let's get into this, add some value to those who are listening. That's what we're here to do. And so I hope you enjoy it.
Great. Let's just jump right in. So Adam, tell us about yourself. Tell us about your backstory. You know, what happened when you were young and how has it changed since?
Yep, I'll be as quick as possible. And usually that means not that quick, but I will try. And so for beyond that, you can go, there's a TEDx talk, which really talks about some of the history that you can go check out if you're interested in more. Originally from the UK, not Australia, as a lot of people think. You didn't, which I'm loving that. So grew up there, was there till I was 35 years old. Was a teacher, PE teacher and athlete, pole vaulter, attempts to get to the Olympics all the way up to 28. Then I had a bad pole vault accident, which really was kind of the fork in the road for me, which changed everything. And then I was definitely in struggle, not surviving mode really then. I had a tough couple of years and then kind of came back with a new identity really. Eventually found myself over in America. Well, found myself. That was my mission. So I've been here 3 years. I've got a podcast, as you mentioned, 4.5 years old. TEDx talk, 2 years old again. Awaken Your Alpha, and now this best-selling book, which is great to say because it's only just out, but it's just made that Tales and Tactics to Thrive as well. So I help anyone who wants to raise their game, as it were, a mindset strategist and mentor. And really my area of genius is simplifying complex scenarios, overwhelming scenarios, and just a relentless, consistent nature when it comes to taking action and getting results.
So how has your mindset shifted in the last, say, 10 years of your life?
Oh, yeah, 10 years. You hit the nail on the head there, because the 2008 was when I had my pole vault accident in the rain. So massively. I mean, 10 years ago, I thought I was mentally strong, but what transpired meant sort of exposed that I was a little bit, not one-dimensional, but I had some big gaps in terms of too much of my mentality was wound up in my physicality. I'd had injuries before, nothing to what transpired over the next couple of years. And also my identity was, my sense of worth was too heavily wrapped up, not that I was aware at the time, as a pole vaulter. And so when that was instantly taken away with no warning, it's not like I planned to retire or I could prepare for that. I was just entering my peak, and then I was absolutely lost. So you know, for a good couple of years, I was not in a good place. So I'm confident now in terms of how has the mindset changed. I don't define my happiness or my success or my worth on an outcome or result. Yes, I get results. I want results. But if something, you know, if a book sells 100,000 copies or it sells 100, that does not change me as a man and my sense of self-worth. You know, it's an outcome. And I think that's a tricky thing to get your head around, especially if you're, you know, ambitious and, you know, achieving things and that's your goals, to then not personalize the failures in terms of, yeah, you've just found a way it doesn't work, or maybe the outcome wasn't the way you'd expected, but that so long as you've gone through the process and you've done things that you can respect yourself, that doesn't change you as a person.
Definitely. You just mentioned was before you tied a lot of your self-worth, your identity to what you did as a pole vaulter or your being a pole vaulter. A lot of people still have that they're tied to their job. They're tied to their work. And sometimes they might lose their job. They might.
Well, yeah, you said it there. So, okay, say you're an absolute legend in your job. Tomorrow your company goes bust or your boss is a bit of an asshole or he has a bad day and fires you. Does that mean you're a failure or you're not good at your job or you're not a success? No, it just means you've had some adversity come your way, which will happen to all of us at some point. But that's easier said than done because, like you say, sometimes we wrap it all up in these external forces to dictate your happiness, which is, you know, it's not the route to thrive because, you know, you are reliant on outside conditions to your happiness.
So what are some of the ways that people sort of sabotage themselves or they put themselves in the survival mode?
Yeah, great way to phrase it. So I think when people's backs get up against the wall, you know, generally and not always, because obviously there's, you know, people who go too far when if you're really struggling and they just tag out and they're, you know, they're done. And the male especially suicide rate is way above females, especially in the UK. So if you're still obviously still struggling and you're looking to get out of it, some of the ways I think the important things are doing the very basics. When people get up, as I say, their backs up against the wall, people will, to a certain extent, do whatever it takes to get out of that, you know, awful situation when it's really grim, like whether it's to the level of, you know, food, shelter, the basics, you will hustle. It's not like I'll do it tomorrow or I'll let it slide. And, you know, the deadline is on you. The urgency is there. You've got to have a place to live. You've got to have a place to or somewhere to eat, that sort of thing. So people kind of do whatever is needed. They will hustle. Ultimately, they will, you know, get themselves out of the very worst case scenario, and then they're into that struggling or survival mode, and they will do these things. But then once they get to kind of okay, I'm out of it, you know, I've got a place, roof over my head, I've got food, you know, I'm not going hungry this week, then they will start to ease off, and they will maybe for some people get in the comfort zone or just not have that urgency or drive to go beyond that. And that's ultimately, you need that to have, you're not going to accidentally start, you know, thriving. By anyone's definition, it's not just going to like, oh, woo. You know, you've got to be doing these fundamentals. And so what happens is people, you know, do these things to get out of, you know, not surviving to struggling or surviving kind of survival mode or just normality, whatever you want to call that. Then they will cruise and they will plot along. But it's very hard, if not impossible, to maintain. You're either growing or you're dying. So what will happen? They will gradually or quite quickly go back down as they've kind of just let things stop. Then they'll think, oh crap, you know, I've got to do this, this, and this. I have to do it. And then they will do all these things and they will get back up again to surviving, then back down. And this happens, and I did it for many years. What is the in terms of, we're talking about this from struggling to surviving to thriving, is the fundamentals or the actions you did to get you out of, you know, a really tough situation. If you continue to consistently do them fundamentals, yeah, there may be a few tweaks, but ultimately the consistent fundamentals, if you continue to do them when you are doing okay or doing good or, you know, seen as you should be okay, like you should just stop there because you're okay. If you continue to do them things, that's where instead of going down and having to repeat almost the same efforts, if you can be consistent long-term, that's where you'll make your way into thriving. And it's easier said than done because it's... A lot of times it is that, okay, I've done all this work to get myself to here. Okay, let's just relax. But I'm a big believer in momentum. I've had it, I've lost it. And, you know, it's the same amount of work. You can do the work, have a break, and then have to do the same amount of work to get back to where you were. Or if you can just be more consistent and continue, then, you know, you've already got that ball rolling. And it's, you know, if you're thriving and then you have whatever happened to you, you'll get down to struggle or surviving. That's your worst case scenario. Whereas if you're only sort of surviving as your kind of your ceiling, then the only way really, you know, if something goes wrong, it's you're going to be really struggling. So that's my thoughts on that.
So what are your thoughts on some of those, for instance, athletes or, you know, students when they were young, when they were in high school, when they were in college, they were, you know, the popular ones or they did well in school, they excelled, they got scholarships and all of that stuff. But after university and they sort of enter the real world, and a lot of them just get, you know, 9-to-5 job. Some of them just, I think it's a phenomenon where people, they peaked. I hear the term a lot, peaked early. What is your thought on that?
Well, yeah, it's this, the whole concept of awakening your alpha is this continual evolution. And it may not be as you'd planned it out in your perfect case scenario, but that's because life happens and, you know, you've got to adapt and evolve and change. And, you know, obviously I didn't plan to have my pole vault accident, but if that hadn't happened, I'm very confident I wouldn't be speaking to you at least today. It may have happened somewhere down the line, but probably not in this time scale. All we have, any of us have who's, you know, listening to this now is the present. And if you've like peaked early, if you're already saying that or having that kind of thought in your head, that, you know, you are seriously, you know, you're going to reap what you sow, Tony. If that's in your head, yeah, you may be different, but or there may be different things to come, but it's, you only ever have today. So what you've done before, that's great. We don't, you know, don't belittle that, but also don't let that hold you back. You know, it's one of the things I think is really important from a very short-term basis, no matter how tough or struggling your day is. I know we're talking about surviving as well. If you're in a tough place at the moment, what is the one thing you can do today? Not what would you like to do, not what would be the ideal scenario, but what can you actually do today to make today great? And this is a question, you talk about mindset in the last few years. Over the last couple of years, this question, asking myself this consistently, has massively improved my happiness and fulfillment. Because if you say you have a really tough day, and this does happen, and then it gets, you know, later in the day, and if you ask yourself that question, what could I do to make today great? Bearing in mind what's gone on before has happened, like it's a very kind of, okay, this is the present moment. And it can be, it's a very individual thing, but it can be as simple as call someone, you know, important to you and speak to them for half an hour, 45 minutes. And then if that's the answer to the question, what would make today great for you? It could be go for a walk around the block and get some fresh air. It could be go for a walk around the block with your, you know, a loved one. It could be a whole array of things, because don't be listening going, oh, that wouldn't work for me. Well, that's the point. It's something individual. It could be big or small, but it's what could you do? So not saying, oh, well, I could go to Disneyland, but I'm probably not going to do that. So that's irrelevant. It's like, what could you actually do? And before you know it, if you can make each day great, even if it's just a small thing, to what could I do to finish off today so it was a great day? Then before you know it, a couple of great days, and then you've got a great life. And that's regardless of what career path or what you're doing. I've just found that very useful and helps me be more in the present moment. Yeah, so I mean, I could barely remember the original question, but I thought that was so important to get out across there.
Yeah,
I know you're talking about, individuals who may have peaked or feel like they peaked early.
Maybe they may not have felt like they've peaked early. Or I actually want to kind of bring two themes together. So, I mean, I've spoken with people that, you know, when they were younger, they were the star, right? They had good grades. They got into a good university. They did well, and they got a good job. Everything sort of went their way growing up. So they never really they feel like they've never really truly failed at something, and they feel like there's something sort of missing. Yeah, like there's a void.
Yeah. Well, the reality is, if you genuinely feel like you've never ever failed, then number one, I mean, a bit of a broad sweeping statement without knowing everyone's individual natures, but there's a very good chance you haven't, you know, pushed yourself. You may have done, by everyone else's standards, wow, look at you, you've stretched, that's way beyond me, or that's a real stretch for me. But if that person is feeling like they haven't ever really failed or pushed the envelope, you're not fulfilling your full potential, even if by conventional standards, you've done legendary by someone else's opinion. And the whole point of this is, other people's opinion will not make you have a happy life. You could be living a legendary life by someone else's criteria, but if you're not feeling it, that's kind of the only thing that's important. So it comes around doing something, firstly, that you'd respect yourself for, or being the person who you respect yourself, and doing things that, firstly, gain your own respect. And we talk about self-worth, then the other... If someone doesn't say, oh, well done, then to a certain extent, it doesn't matter, because that's not the point of it. Yeah, if someone felt like they've never failed, and in terms of interviewing over 300 people for this book, the podcast as well, it's the amount of failure in this book is immense. The amount of failure from the people I've interviewed is across the board, not even close. It's they have failed so much more than the average person. And it's their attitude towards failure that's fascinating. And also their momentum, their speed at which they hit that failure and be like, okay, what do I learn from it, and move on. And they're on to the fourth failure before we're even like, oh, shall I do it or shan't I? Oh, I failed once. Yeah, I knew I shouldn't have done it and just stopped doing it. So it's a fascinating thing, but that would probably be if someone's not feeling fulfilled, that's probably why as well. But yeah, just because you've the problem with success coming early and quick, and like you said, that scenario you've painted out, is you can be lulled into a false sense of security that that's just how things are going to happen for you. And without having adversity, as annoying as adversity is, everyone's going to have it at some stage. So I wouldn't wish it on anyone, but it's going to happen. So it's important to mentally prepare yourself and always be in training. That's why mentally, more than anything, for when these times comes, because it's when the adversity comes, it's never too late, but it's a lot tougher to then think, oh, I need to get mentally strong when you're in the thick of the adversity. Which basically what happened to me, I was not mentally prepared for what happened because I didn't think it was going to happen. That's kind of the whole point. So I'd like to think, well, as adversities have been coming, that, you know, you take them with a pinch of salt, and you know, it's part of life, and you just deal with it to a certain extent. And that it's hard to do, but in all situations, and there's even obviously extremely tragic situations, you've got to just work hard. Not saying it's doable or very easy sometimes, to find the positive, what can you take from this in any scenario? And I think that's definitely a mindset skill, or the alternative is you dwell on the trauma and see how that works.
So we talked a lot about momentum. For those that want to get out of the survive mode, maybe they are surviving at a job right now they don't really like, right? They work in a job, or maybe they're working in the career that, you know, they study for, or they conditioned themselves for in the last few years and or many years, and are not really doing what they want to do. So how can they step out of that and into thriving, to be living on purpose? What are some of the habits or things that you would suggest for someone that wants to get out of that state?
Yeah. So, I mean, firstly, on that scenario, you know, your current situation or current environment does not dictate your outcome or who you are going to become, or, you know, it can be relatively quick. It can be a long-term thing, how long it takes you. But, you know, if you don't let it, as in the first thing, you've got to make that decision, because a lot of people don't make that clear decision. There's a wanting, there's a dissatisfaction, there's a kind of slow death going on there. But until you like stick the flag in the sand and make that decision, this is not going to happen by a certain date. I think it's important to put deadlines, because before you know it, you're like, oh, yeah, I meant to get out of this a couple of years ago, or, you know, months turn into years and weeks turn into months. So I think the positives of that situation, you know, if it is very tough or, and you're really not enjoying it, the good, again, for me personally, what I would take from that is good, because you need that pain to make any kind of meaningful decision and any kind of transformation. Because if it's the slow deaths are the worst, because if it's, you know, if it's not too bad, it's like, meh. It's harder to have the balls to then kind of pull the cord and cut the cord. And mine was kind of a comfortable scenario. The comfortable scenarios can be really tough in terms of, on the surface, it's kind of like what you're complaining about. But when it's obviously very, very tough, even by anyone's standards, then clearly, yes, you want to change that. But when it's like, oh, you should be happy, you've got a good job and you've got this and you've got that, and you're like, well, yeah, you may have these things, but you may not want them. So I think, firstly, commit or make that decision, and you don't have to make it. This is what I'm saying. But if you want to change, then make that decision. Take full responsibility. You need to claim everything in your life, the good and the bad. Just cut that victim mentality out of there. It's not going to help you, you know, so claim everything. And but the power that comes from claiming everything, can even scenarios where you think, well, how is any of that my fault? There will be a portion that is some of your responsibility. So within that, once you claim it all, now you have the power, or you have more power. It's all about, you know, gaining a few percentages of power. Robert Greene talks about, when asked him for his definition of power, is basically, you know, people have very little power in reality because of all the outside external things that can happen and certain things out of your control. But power is all about just increasing that by like a point something of a percentage, because then there are certain things you can influence. So focus on that. Don't worry about all the other stuff. So what can you influence, control? And your own destiny is one of them. So make that decision, claim everything. And then I've talked a lot about having that brutal reality of where you currently are, not like trying to sugarcoat it to tell friends and family, yeah, I'm okay, I'm doing this, that. The reality for yourself of where you are, what things are good, what things are crappy, but the reality, if you know it's not the best situation, really be brutally honest with yourself. And then obviously you've got to do the work to find out what is your vision. It doesn't have to be your specific necessary goal to start, but where do you want to go? Like, what is the ideal scenario? Because without that point B, that Mount Olympus, then you could be doing activities that are conflicting. You go a little bit that direction, then you go a little bit that way, and you're just back and forth and it's a mess. So if you can get consistent action in the direction of your vision, whether it's something as simple as, you know, where would you be living? What country? Would it be an urban environment, a country environment? What sort of would your day look like ideally for you? You know, would it start early, finish late? Who would you be hanging out with? Would it be warm there? Would it be extreme seasons? Like all these sorts of things. Then you start to get, okay, so this is where I want to go. And just having that awareness, and then this identifies the gap. And this may be a small gap or it may be a huge gap, but just that clarity of that awareness of there is a gap. Because some people are like, yeah, this is life. This is what I'm doing. I'm not feeling the best, but I'm not feeling the worst. Carry on. That's another 20 years. But once you've identified there is a gap, this is my gap, no one else's, this is my responsibility, what are the steps? Break it up. Yeah, I can't go from A to B in one day, but what are the realistic steps? And then, okay, what are the, you know, what's the first priority, as in where you are now? And part of the taking that clear stock take of, you list out like 5 to 7 key areas of your life, like relationships, intimate partner, even family, wealth, health, and go down the list like that. And then just rate yourself 1 to 10. Okay. The 1s and the 2s and the 3s and the 4s, they're your priority. And if they're all that low, you need to be ruthless. Which is the old, because you can't have everything as a priority. Which is the one that you're going to, the biggest issue? So, you know, if it's, let's just say the obvious one, if all areas of your life were not the best, and then your health, you're giving yourself a 1, well, that's the first priority. And yes, you need to do all the other things, but let's just, you've got to start somewhere. So that's a useful exercise to do maybe every month, every 3 months, realistically, just to recalibrate. And also, what is the priority as of day one? Because everyone's like, oh, everything's a priority, or I've got to do all these different things. It becomes overwhelming. And the result is you don't do anything because there's so much to do. So it's always about what action can you do today? Not even plan a medium action for tomorrow. It's better to do a small action today and then the next day. And that gains momentum because once you start getting a little result, a teeny result, then, you know, you get more results and you keep doing it. And I just think it's important to not beat yourself up, but just to take responsibility. And that establishing the gap and the size of it is an important personal thing to do. You don't have to let anyone know about it because, you know, it may be quite frustrating how far in your head you are from where you believe you should be. And that's, you know, we all have stories of where I should have been at 30 or where I should have been at 35. And you might even be on the right path and you'd be like, yeah, the path is perfect. I'm happy. I'm heading towards my vision. Why are you so unhappy then? Oh, because I thought I should have been here 5 years ago. So you're on the path, you're going in the right direction, and you're just feeling like crap because, again, you've made up this story that you should have been by a certain point at a certain age. So it's interesting, fascinating stuff. Ultimately, you got too short a long time on this earth. If you're not thriving or not happy on a consistent basis or fulfilled, you've only got one shot at this. So that's not okay. That's not the norm, or it shouldn't be the norm. You need to take action on this if you're bothered, because it is a personal choice. If you know you can, you make your bed, you lie in it is the ultimate thing.
Yeah, I think I was listening to your TEDx talk and you mentioned about what is your Mount Olympus? You know, what is your dream, career, relationship, body, fitness, and all of these things. And like you said, it's not difficult to feel a lot of pain and then want to make a change. It is difficult to feel a little pain, and then, but you're also at the same time, it's not that bad. You can stay in that position for a few years and see what happens. Mm-hmm. But if you just see what happens, you're kind of like putting the control of, life is not in your control. Life is sort of,
and that's what I did. I was like 1 foot as an entrepreneur, 1 foot as an employee for a good few years, probably about 4 or 5 years, just because I didn't have the commitment or I didn't back myself enough to go all in. So I thought, they always said this, oh, let's transition. That's great. But at one point it stops being a transition. And it's just your life. You know, at a certain point you've got to make a decision, you know, fish or cut bait. Employee, entrepreneur, there's nothing wrong with either, but trying to do both at the same time, you're a part-timer in both. So, you know, how are you going to be a high performer when you're a part-timer going up against full-timers, professionals, and you're a part-timer in both fields? And that is probably one of the toughest phases of my life, because you're getting torn in both directions. As I said, you're not, the performance is not as high as it should be or needs to be or must be.
So do you believe in burning bridges with your past? What I mean is...
I think I get what you mean.
Yeah.
Just on the first bit, well, all I can talk about is my own story. And I did eventually, because I've been stuck in that cycle I talked about. I had supply teaching. A good teacher in England is never going to go hungry, because you've always got substitute supply. Yeah, you can be in control because you can choose which day you work. But ultimately, there's not work all the time. So you may have plans and you're like doing things. And it's like, okay, we need you. Can you come in? So you're kind of in control. You're kind of not necessarily easy money. But as I say, that is your bread and butter. That can cover, you know, if anything else you're doing, if it doesn't work, it doesn't really matter, because you've always got your plan B, you know, until you burn the bridges. And I had two small children. And, you know, I've had people say to me around that phase, oh, it's okay for you, I've got some kids, or I've got a kid, or I've got some small children. I'll be like, yeah, me too. And like, oh. So the issue is, because people justify why they can't do something because of X, Y, and Z. And you can always justify anything. And there's always someone who's done something that you wanted to do from more adverse situations with tougher scenarios. You know, there'd be someone who's done similar to me that had like 10 kids. You know, all, I don't know how it's possible. I'd say all under three or something. But you know what I mean? There's always someone. So, you know, it's, and at the time I had a mentor was sort of advised me not to do it. But my point around this is, I think it massively needs to be. And the reason I believe he said that is because he didn't want any part of the responsibility, which is good, because I needed the full responsibility. And that's the same, you know, if you make that call and burn your bridges, it could go very adverse for quite some time. Who knows? But you've got to take ownership of that, because you don't want to then be turning around and someone going, oh, you said I should quit. It hasn't worked. So, you know, it's, I think if you can make it work in that smooth transition, I have a lot of respect for you, because I couldn't really. I was making it work, but I was stuck there too long. And I was just like, eventually, obviously, you've got to make a decision. Quicker decisions are less painful, but it's a very individual thing. And I'm sure someone could quit, burn their bridges instantly and go for it. And other people could do this nice smooth transition and phase it all out. And I suppose mine was a phase out, because as I say, I went from full-time teaching to 3 days a week. And then, you know, and then part, and then like sporadically. But yeah, so it's a good question. And there is definitely not a one size fits all answer. But I will say, a lot of people I've interviewed do have some kind of scenario at one point in their life where their back was right up against the wall. And that is where the biggest breakthrough came. It usually is after where it would have seemed absolutely reasonable to quit or to stop, because that's insane. But then they kept going. And that's something I've took on. The harder something is and the tougher it gets, you've just got to be relentless. And if it's important to you, it's why it's important to follow things that have a real meaning to you and you have a strong emotional attachment to, because that inspiration will pull you through, as opposed to being pushed by desperation, which is, again, two very different sides of the same coin.
Thanks a lot, Adam, for all your tips and your sharing today. I believe our audience got a lot of value, because some of them are just on the fence about making a decision today to act upon their goals and dreams. So if people want to find out more about you, where can they find you?
Awesome. The best place for all and everything at the moment is ayalpha.com/book. And then from that point, I mean, that's got all the information about the book. Launch bonuses are still up as we speak.
What bonuses are we talking about?
Okay. So for the launch, and I'm going to extend this to your show as well. And this is just an idea I had in the last day or two. So for the launch, if you bought the book before it went out, so we had obviously launch day, you get a 7-day video masterclass called Claim Your Clarity. So it's kind of the first phase of what we're talking about here. I can just email that to you. The book is 200 pages or so, and that's condensed down from like 4.5 years of podcast episodes. So that's, you know, impactful enough. But also you can get, and the actions are in the book, but if you wanted, you can get the workbook, which is all the action points and book exercises together, which is an 82-page PDF. So straight to kind of follow along with that. So now we're past the launch for your listeners. If they wanted to do that and they opted to go and check out all the information about the book, they want to do that, all they need to do once they got the book, just pop me up a one-line review on Amazon, because that's running kind of the big push to, you know, this is, there's some value for me telling you how great the book is, but also, you know, I would do, because I've poured years. So the Amazon reviews are really crucial for people getting a rounded, honest opinion about the book. You know, for all variations of stars, they're all useful. So if they jump across to ayalpha.com/book, that's a great place to start. And the TEDx talk is there. I've kind of put it all in one place, so keep it simple. And then Adam Lewis Walker, Awaken Your Alpha on Instagram for both and Facebook for both. And then there's a group, Awaken Your Alpha with ALW, for anyone who's interested in the book and the podcast, and really to sort of coordinate in there as well. And I'm very active in there. I think that should cover it.
Thanks a lot, Adam.
Cheers. Thanks for having me, guys. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Cheers.
Thank you for tuning in to today's episode. You can find more episodes every Tuesday. If you haven't done so, please subscribe for more updates as they come. Until next time.